I know it's here somewhere. Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes, and better late than never. What can I say? I didn't get a show done on Saturday, or Sunday, or even Monday. Dude, I'm so far behind. It's just been a very, very busy time. One of those crazy, wild, and crazy times. I've just had so many irons in the fire, they got hot and they burned me. Yeesh. Yeah, don't you hate it when that happens? Anyway. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Ha! You know, the studio is finally getting better. I won't say it's there yet, but it's better. And I'm still having to kind of deal a little bit with my lighting just a tad. But let me kind of maybe see if I move back just a tad. It's better, yeah, it looks better. Anyway, you know, what would I do if I weren't tweaking the lighting and the video and the audio and the background and my shirt, my hair? There's just so many things to keep in mind. Oh yeah, the show too. The content. I knew there was something I forgot this week. Anyway. So, it was a busy week, and I had a lot going on, and I didn't have a chance to blog, and that meant on Saturday I didn't have anything to actually do a show on, and then I had to get all the stuff together, and you don't really care, you just want to see a show. So, never mind. Yeesh. Anyway, so on Monday I said, there'll be a delay on this week's show, maybe this evening. Actually, I said until this evening, and I was quite confident. I was wrong, but I was quite confident. I said I would explain it all on the show. Well, I was busy. That's pretty much the explanation. There was just a lot happening. You know, the real details, if you really want the details. Okay, Fred, we know you don't want the details. But there may be a few that are wondering, well, why were you so busy? Well, it's like this. We had Pastor Appreciation Day at our church, Faith and Victory Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I had videoing to do, and I had prep for the video to do, and I had a lot of other stuff going on. So, you know, if you'd like to actually see that service and see the video and all the funny stuff, and including a bunch of parody songs, we had a guy who rewrote a bunch of popular songs as songs about our church, which you may not get the end jokes. You know what I'm saying? There's certain end jokes you might not get. But if you go to fvc.org and go up to the upper corner and click on service videos, you can see the service video from Pastor Appreciation Sunday. It's a little long. It's an hour and a half. And that was edited. But anyway, and the editing took a while too. But anyway, it's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on for Pastor Appreciation Sunday and all the stuff going into that. And so it just took a little extra time. And that's part of why I didn't get a show. That and during the week I was busy and didn't get a lot of blogging done. So, phooey. But I'm here now. So we'll move on. Okay, the new Apple OS has some compatibility issues. You know, this is OS 10 Mavericks. They call it Mavericks. Does that imply they are Mavericks from other operating system vendors? Don't know. Anyway, they did release this new version, and the unique thing about this new version is, unlike in the past, the new version is completely free. And they said it would continue to be free from now on. That's a new model for them. I mean, that's pretty wild. So, kudos. That's pretty cool to Apple. I mean, you know, you have to spend an arm and a leg for the hardware. At least you don't have to pay for the software. Or at least the operating system part. But anyway. However, there are some issues. One of which is that the new version... Oh, I misspelled operating system. I'll fix that. It's been sitting out there all this time since the 28th. And it says operating. Well, I'll have to fix that. Anyway, concerns rise over OS X Maverick's Gmail compatibility. There are a number of new useful features in Mac Mail, such as improved searching and attachments, and a button to delete an unwanted. Okay, an unwanted message from a notification banner. Nice. However, if you're using Mail as a client for one or more Google Mail accounts, there are issues, some serious. Worse, for those who've tweaked Mail or Gmail preferences in the past to account for Gmail's particular message handling, then a blind upgrade to Mavericks may prove problematic. Yes. Okay. You miss one weekend of doing a show and you forget how to read. So it would seem. Anyway, next item. Can AI be too smart? A problem I frequently run into. Yeah. Okay. No comments, Fred. Don't want to get in too much trouble. It's not like I pay him, you know? I mean, oh well. Anyway, can AI be too smart? Artificial intelligence, by the way, is what AI stands for. Not I. No. Artificial intelligence. What if computer programs could start passing those CAPTCHA tests online? CAPTCHA tests are those little image and word tests that identify you as a real human and not a computer, so that it eliminates spam from online questionnaires, forums, you know, websites of all kinds. Well, it seems that one has passed this test for the very first time. That's bad, actually. I mean, it's impressive that they were able to do that, but it's bad from a purely security perspective. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, the world's first artificial intelligence AI to pass the completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart. Also called CAPTCHA, first letter of each one of those words. Debuts today from Vicarious FPC Incorporated in San Francisco. CAPTCHA is that annoying authentication test where users have to decipher and type in characters from a distorted image to prove they are human. Because we all know humans are distorted, right? Maybe not. Well, anyway. I can only go by what I know, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, now that Vicarious's AI has been demonstrated to perform as well as a human at CAPTCHA, it has proven the technique ineffective as an authentication method at Google, PayPal, Yahoo, and hundreds of other sites. Well, there's your problem. Yeesh. Anyway, okay, next item. Microsoft Surface 2 needs more apps, in my humble opinion, and apparently this guy's too. That wrote this article. I posted it from the Australian News. Might. The new Surface 2 improves on last year's Surface RT in almost every way, they say. The service too is quick by virtue of its up-to-the-minute NVIDIA Tegra 4 core 4 CPU. Apps open quickly, multitasking is smooth, video doesn't stutter, and unlike the original RT, you can bash away on the optional type and touch cover keyboards and not get ahead of the tablet's processing power. I tested the Surface 2 against the original RT model using the 3D Mark Ice Storm cross-platform benchmark. That's hard to say quickly. And it was no contest. With the new model racking up a score of 9,531 on Ice Storm Extreme and 14,360 on Ice Storm Unlimited, the RT could only muster a mere 2,069 and 3,276 respectively. So there. But they go on to say, this is a long article, you can read the whole article if you'd like to, but they go on to say that the problem, and I'll just summarize it, I'm not going to read it, the problem is apps. Because you see, the Surface RT, the Surface 2, even, RT, uses the RT architecture, therefore it doesn't use the regular Windows operating system architecture, therefore, there's lots of therefores in this sentence. It's also a very long sentence. I'm also getting distracted. I do that. Anyway, the point is that since it isn't the real, and I'm putting air quotes on that, I made the mistake of saying real Windows at work, and they jumped on me and said, you said Windows is real! You said Windows is real! Give me a break. It does really exist, guys. I just don't care for it as much as Linux. Okay? Don't jump on me. Anyway. So, the real standard ordinary, old version of the Windows architecture allows you to run Windows programs that you're used to, that you like, that you have used before. The new RT? Nah. You have to have a special, for instance, you have to have a special version of Microsoft Office to run on RT because you can't run the old original version of Office on RT. You know, the old software. You could get a new version of Office that would run on RT. You get the idea, okay? So, like, if I took one of our Geek Software of the Weeks and tried to run an RT, it would go, pfft. That's the point. Okay. Now, along those lines, I had an email this week from somebody who said, hey, Dr. Bill, watch your show, really enjoy it. However, you're always talking about going to Linux. And, you know, I would go to Linux, except I need to run Quicken. And I need to run Outlook. Well, first of all, please don't run Outlook. Please don't. Please. Outlook is, okay, here's what you got to understand. Microsoft is inherently less secure. Okay. Historically, that has been true. Now, they're getting better. You know, I will say, yes, they are getting better. Okay. However, they're still not as secure as Linux, and the stuff you run on it, even the software from Microsoft, isn't as secure. So, for instance, Outlook, I mean, think of it this way. Outlook is targeted by pretty much everybody that writes malware and spamware and yuckware and pfftware and all that stuff. They aim it at... I'll do it this way. They aim it at Outlook. And therefore, Outlook is like, no, please. Okay. I'm getting histrionically making these points. Anyway, the point is that Outlook is not as secure as, let's say, Thunderbird or Evolution. Or any number of other email clients on Linux. So if you're going to go to Linux anyway, I would go with a real, air quotes, a real email client. As I say, like Evolution or like Thunderbird, okay? However, I will also say this. I personally, me, everybody says, what do you use, Dr. Bill? I use squirrel mail. Squirrel. Actually, more, it's over here. Squirrel. Why do I use squirrel mail? Because squirrel mail is totally web-based. It's very secure. It's written in PHP. It's website, you know, web programming. There's nothing installed locally at all. There's no client needed. And I can just go check my mail anytime I want to, and it's an IMAP email client. Now, granted, you have to have it on a server in order to run it because you're running under PHP. You can't put it on your local PC. You have to have something out there running a web operating system. I mean, you know, web operating system. That was real good. No, a website. I'm really freaking out. Anyway, a website. You have to have a web host and a website to run squirrel mail. One that will run PHP, which is a server-side scripting language. See my certificate over there? It says I'm a CIW official master server administrator. So I have no excuse. I should know these things and I should say it correctly. By the way, the CIW master server administrator cert, which I proudly hang behind me there, has been retired. The cert itself, not the fact that I have one. They don't expire. So if you've got one, you've got one. Okay. However, they have retired the cert. So if you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to go out and get one of those certs myself, and I'm going to take the four tests necessary to get that cert. You can't. You have to be an old geezer like me that was around when that was being offered. Oh, well. Anyway, the point is, I'm digressing again. I tend to do that. But the point is that I use squirrel mail for that reason. And since I am a webmaster and have tens of, well, almost 100 websites, very close to 100 websites out there on two different web hosting things, and not to mention the one that's right here behind me, that one, right here in the office, studio, office, whatever it is, that one too. And I have another one somewhere else in a secret facility. It's secret, so I can't tell you about it. Anyway, the point is, I got you thinking, didn't I? Anyway, the point is that's why I don't ever think about these email issues like Outlook, Thunderbird, Evolution. What should you use? I just use squirrel mail. I can read it anywhere. I could be at an internet cafe in Bangladesh. I've never been there, but if I went there, I could read my email on anybody's computer or tablet through squirrel mail. Now, that might be a little harder through a tablet because it's not tablet aware, but you know what I'm saying. Anything with a web browser. Doesn't even have to have a special plugin for the web browser. Doesn't have to have ActiveX. Thank goodness. ActiveX is another one of those Microsoft technologies that's inherently not secure. So, that's why. Okay, so I got distracted again. He also asked about Quicken, the program called Quicken that does businessy things. Well, it turns out that Quicken will run very well, at least most versions, very well under Wine. Now, I've talked about Wine here before. Wine stands for, I kid you not, Wine is not an emulator. Now, some people would say, yes, it is. Technically, it's not. And that's why they were making this tongue-in-cheek reference by calling it Wine. Windows is not an emulator. It's actually an API that of Windows that has been written to run under Linux, even though it is a completely separate and different type of operating system, and it will still give Windowsy programs the calls and the hooks and the things it needs to run. Okay? Which is very impressive. Got to give them kudos for being able to do that. Okay? So that's good. But not all programs are written well. You know what I'm saying? Some programs are written really sloppy and expect certain holes that are in windows to be there so they can grab onto them and climb up the wall. You get what I'm saying. Anyway, so, but if they're well-written programs, they tend to run very well under Wine, because Wine's expecting a nice, pristine, clean environment for Windows API calls to be made in. Okay? So, said all of that to say that I went to the Wine HQ database, and I looked up Quicken, and I found out everything but the most recent version is basically runs great under Linux. So, dude, go for it. I encourage you to do two things. Install Linux Mint, which is my favorite client-side Linux. Then install Wine from the Linux Mint software store center thing. Then go ahead and copy your point to your network reference, whatever it is, of Quicken, or if you have a CD, put the CD in, whatever. But then go to the executable, the setup.exe, or whatever it is they use, install. I don't know what they use as an executable, because I don't use Quicken. But right-click and run from Wine, and it will then set up everything, and dude, you will be impressed. Okay? Try that. Let me know how it works. I am curious to know, because I don't run Quicken. Okay? So, but I do run eSword, which is a Windows program only. Matter of fact, the guy told me in an email, when I asked him, he said, I am not going to write it for Linux, period. He didn't know Linux, didn't want to mess with Linux. Okay, that's fine. So I ran it under Wine, and it runs like a top. It's perfect. So cool. Now, that's a program you may not want to run personally yourself. I don't. That's fine. If you do want it, get it. It's free. It's a Bible program that's free. e-sword.net, as I put here on the screen. But it runs under Wine. It's awesome. So, lots of programs will give it a shot. But don't use Outlook. It's just not very secure, okay? If you really want it, it'll run under Wine, too. Oh, well. But just saying. So anyway, that's whoa! You can always tell when Fred is just a little past the point of putting up with my ramblings. He does the Geek Software of the Week, which is okay. We got to get around to it eventually. The Geek Software of the Week this week, actually for last week, technically, is why can't I connect? I'm not saying that now because I'm connected. I'm saying that's the name of the program. Why can't I connect? Question mark. Okay. Sound effects. He comes with sound effects. Anyway. So, Why Can't I Connect is a program that is open source and therefore, of course, free, that is written with this in mind. I'll read what they say about themselves. Why Can't I Connect makes it easier to resolve TCP/IP connection errors. Use it to diagnose connections to common server types and create generic clients and or servers. A source tar, a 32-bit RPM, and a 32-bit deb file, and a 32-bit Windows install exe are available. In other words, all those platforms. The 32-bit Windows version executable runs fine in 64-bit Windows system. 64-bit instructions on the website are available for details. See the website for details. Look in the wiki knowledge base to make requests, report bugs, ask questions, and view solutions. And I provide a link to their website, which is, of course, wciconnect.sourceforge.net, as it says on the lower third there. So there you go. Neat Geek Software of the Week that will help you out, which is what we're about here on the DrBill.TV netcast. Okay. It's been a very odd show. And yet, we have another one coming Saturday. Here it is, What is today? Tuesday! As I record this, I'm just so confused! I'm not usually doing a show on a Tuesday! Well, anyway, so this show, as I record it, is on a Tuesday, which should have been on a Saturday, which is how far behind I am. So, this is part of my effort to get caught up. But at any rate, assuming that all the stars and planets align correctly, I will do another show on Saturday, which will have even more geekery and fun for you. I know some of you are saying, Dr. Bill, don't you get tired with all this stuff? Technically, yes, but what are you going to do? I must keep marching onward, spreading the geekery and the silliness throughout the world. Well, somebody has to. So remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of drbillbailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.